Let's go to our wild card line. Oh, wait a minute. Is that who I think it is? Hello there, Richard C. Hoagland.
Good evening, George.
You landed safely?
We landed thanks to Captain Gilbert. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. And First Officer Schwartz. You know, we made it.
Well, good. I'm glad you're back safe and sound in Albuquerque. Ray Bradbury, one of our dear guests, and I think probably one of the world's greatest minds of science with us now, Richard C. Hoagland, who just adores what you do. You've had an inspiration on him, too. Richard, take a few minutes. Talk.
Ray, I have not talked to you in too long. You and I shared some remarkable moments at JPL when we actually landed on that great red place.
Well, that was a wonderful evening.
Remember there with Gene Roddenberry?
We stayed up all night, all of us.
All of us. And Bob Heinlein was there. And I think Arthur was in New York with Walter.
And Von Braun was there, too.
And his gorgeous daughter. Remember his daughter, the blonde?
Yeah.
I have a question I have wanted to ask you for probably 20 years. As you obviously know, I have been deeply embroiled in this whole Cydonia, you know, was there intelligent life on Mars controversy, and I must say that I can blame it all on you. Because in the 1950s, when I was growing up, that very impressionable kid reading from the furtive stacks, you know, the adult science fiction, I tripped across something that was so alien and so out of place in the rural town I grew up in, something called the Martian Chronicle.
Oh, yes.
And what struck me about it, which was so outrageous for the time, was the idea that the human species would go to this alien place and ultimately meet itself. To me, that was the most mind-blowing thing until I looked at the Cydonia images from Viking, and that's what it looks like we found.
That was a great evening. We all celebrated together. People were dancing around and laughing and singing. I remember that night so well.
So I've got to ask you this question, Ray. Where did the idea come from that the human race would go to another planet and meet its own image?
I got it from Edgar Rice Burroughs. I loved his Martian books when I was 10 years old. So he influenced me, and I kept on believing. So I had to write my own Martian book, didn't I?
Well, you upped Edgar. You definitely did, and you made an immortal mark in my soul, and I want to thank you on behalf of all the millions.
Well, God
listening.
Bless you. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate you being on the show. I know that's very important to you, and that's another person that you've had such a tremendous influence on, Ray. Just tremendous. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, Ray, John, Mark. I have to say a real nice tribute to both of your guests here. Mark, I got to thank you for the Twilight Zone companion. I mean, it is my bedside companion. I know I have a wife, but this is my bedside companion.
Well, I hope you give attention to both your wife and the book.
I try. And you know what, the everybody has their favorite, like George, as I sing the Body Electric, but Walking Distance, that you had such a great piece on about where it came from. And Mr. Bradbury, you may not even know this, but there was a reference made to you because you affected Rod Serling so much. He put in the character Dr. Bradbury.
That's
using
right,
your name
did, yes.
In Walking Distance.
Yeah.
Oh, Mark, and you have things in your book that are so incredible. Remember Living Doll with Talking Tina, with Telly Savalas? The voice of Talking Tina was a lady named June Foray, who she did the voice of Rocky from Rocky and
Bullwinkle.
Right.
She's a dear friend, and she's still around, and I love her.
Yeah,
really,
she's terrific.
Oh yeah, and then Ray, before I let you go, I have to tell you, my daughter is so influenced by you by your story, The Halloween Tree.
Oh yes,
and that movie, she watches that like The Wizard of Oz. You know, you're the narrator in that, or you're the voice in that too, and you have such a smooth voice, and I couldn't think of anybody better for the part for what you had in that than you. And
I'm
you,
so glad. Thank you.
It's such a nice tribute to talk to you, and thank you very much, George. Great show.
Great.
Mark,
thanks.
Mark, thank you very much for that book.
You're very welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Ray, with the 5 million some listeners that listen to this program every night, we also have internet chats that listen to us on a regular basis. They get together as a group when they're listening to this program. One organization is called Imaginative Worlds, and there's a fellow out there. If you could just say hello to him, I know he'd appreciate it because he's had an influence on us with some great story ideas. I mean, he was talking to us about mad cow disease before really any mainstream media ever decided to do any stories on that. His name that he uses on his internet site is called Gormworm, and just simply adores you. Could you just say hello to him?
Yeah. What's his name again?
Gormworm.
Gorm?
Yep. Just call him Gorm.
Yeah. Well, my love to him, please.
Great.
My very best wishes and my love to him.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there. Hello. Going once.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
George, thanks for taking the call.
You're
this
welcome.
Is Nathaniel at Cogo in San Diego.
Oh, hi.
Thank you for having Ray and Mark on. Ray, your remarkable memory is my privilege to have experienced. You remember when we met first in the El Cajon Performing Arts Center, probably in 82 or 83, and then the next year you greeted me by name, and in several successive meetings, also by name. Awesome. And your work has been so blessed and inspiring to so many. God bless you.
Well,
have
thank
a
you.
Great
thank
forever.
Well, thank you, too. Appreciate you being on the program. That's something else. Ray, the... When you started writing these programs, how did the evolution to the movies take place? Because you originally just wanted to write books, or did you think movie when you were doing that?
No, I've been affected by movies. My mother was a maniac for movies. She started taking me to movies when I was 3 years old, and I saw The Hunchback of Notre Dame in 1923 and The Phantom of the Opera when I was 1925. So movies have been a deep influence on me all my life long. Hmm. So I wound up writing movies finally because I simply had to.
You, and, of course, you went to high school in Los Angeles. Was Los Angeles home? Were you born here also?
No, I was born in Waukegan, Illinois. And my father took us out to L.A. during the Great Depression in 1933. He'd been looking for work for years, so thank God he brought us to Hollywood, and I hung around the studios, and they finally wound up writing a screenplay.
Do you think that this inspiration still would have occurred had you not been in Hollywood? Maybe you would have stayed in the Midwest?
No, I think I was born to be a writer, and I would have done it in Waukegan, too. But being in Hollywood was very helpful. And it encouraged me in my writing.